Mini episode 629 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Revelation Fight Organization. Follow them on the web at facebook.com/RFOMMA. Give them a like.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 629. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo Episode 2.4 titled Fear and Trembling. Here's our top five developments from Episode 2.3 heading into this installment. Number 5. With the obvious exception of Peggy and Ed's mystery meet, most of the cards for this season are already on the table. Rye Gearhart's killing spree is now known to one and all. With Otto Gearhart's stroke, a battle for control of the Upper Prairie looms between the German family and Kansas City, and Lou and Hank are watching the major players circling each other. Even Skip's connection to Rye's crimes at the diner is known to both crime families and seems likely to be unraveled by Lou shortly. And actually, aside from knowing that the driver was Peggy, Betsy unwittingly pieced together the entire chain of events at the Waffle House, even if nobody's giving much credence to it at the moment. As of the third episode, the hunt for Rye, which will drive most of the season's action, has been joined by all of the major participants. What comes next is full-scale war between the big city and rural crime syndicates, and that's imminent, based on Dodd's instructions to O'Hanzy. As the show marches to the halfway point in the next two episodes, the thrill of watching the contempt that the major players have for each other congeal into something truly explosive is going to be awesome. Number 4. Peggy and Ed are the wild cards of the season, but they're going to have one of their own to deal with. As this 70s-obsessed show might be fond of saying, it wasn't the crime but the cover-up that was deadly about Watergate. And it's the nuances of trying to bury their dirty secret that are proving problematic for the butcher and his devious wife. Everything they've done so far has worked, but their story about the car crash won't endure permanently because Peggy's mischievous boss knows that it was damaged previously. And based on the scene in the salon with Hank and Betsy, Peggy has to know that there's a loose end that's going to have to be tied up. Will it be the weekend of the upcoming seminar, or is that too obvious? We'll have to wait and see. Also, Ed needing two takes for the car crash seems like it has to come back into play. And speaking of wild cards, Simone's going to be one for her abusive father, isn't she? A continuing motif throughout every aspect of the Fargo franchise has been characters getting tripped up by objects in their blind spot, and Dodd suffering any consequences at the hands of a daughter that he has no respect for would certainly be something he wouldn't see coming. To an extent, this is the season of the wild card, with the Gearhart family non-entity Rye putting all of this chaos in motion. And while all eyes are on the people of stature, Hank and Lou, Dodd and Floyd, Joe and Mike among others, it will probably be the misfits throwing sand in the gears that truly come to define this season. Number 3. The universe of substantial characters continues to mushroom. With O'Hanzy and Simone getting fleshed out so much more, in addition to Ben Schmidt, who demonstrated how he earned his contempt from Lou that was voiced in Season 1, the program is going in a very daring direction by dividing the screen time even more. It's not that it's difficult to keep up with all of them, because they're so distinctive, but it's a challenge for the writers to make all of them feel like they're central to the ongoing story. So far, so good, though. And there's always the chance that one of these background players is going to matter in a much bigger way, such as the salon owner, potentially. Moving all of the pieces on the human chessboard is becoming a more difficult task the further we get into the story, but so far, the creative team is delivering. Number 2. The potential civil war in the Gearhart family is keeping this dynamic from becoming too familiar. The trope of law enforcement trying to extinguish the flames of a gang war is a very common one in entertainment over the decades. But Dodd's potential move on Floyd's loyalists, with all of his misogyny and the Freudian overtones inherent in that, promises to add more chaos to the mix. It seems likely that Dodd and O'Hanzy will ignite the all-out war that Floyd is still very ambivalent about, and that shifting loyalties and ad hoc alliances may become part of the landscape in the near future as the unthinkable forces the contemplation of new perspectives for one and all. Number one, much more than in the movie or season one, season two is embracing Old West themes with a fervor. Now that Lou and Hank have combined for three standoffs with various gangsters, the program is increasingly resembling another vaunted FX drama, Justified, in terms of pitting the forces of law and order against their opposites in stark, intense fashion. Last week, we noted that the show had the potential of achieving something almost unheard of for an anthology, upping the tension level in every episode all the way through. Arguably, they're well on their way, and that has come, with few exceptions, by deferring the bloodshed that's obviously coming. We know from Lou's characterization of these events to Melvo in Season 1 that horrific events are on the horizon and that he and Hank are going to have their hands full. Unlike the female law enforcement protagonists of Fargo's first two installments, Marge Gunderson and Lou's daughter Molly, we have here two war veterans in Lou and Hank who have already been trained to deal with the worst of humanity. We're nearing the time that they'll be really put to the test. Hopefully the journey remains as impeccable as it's been so far. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.